Which way?
Waving.
We're Plum.
The other day, we drove outside Tallahassee to the beautiful Wakulla Springs Lodge, where between the lodge and the blue water, some men seem to be surveying. They're archaeologists under white canopies excavating a pit 10 feet wide, 3 feet, and millennia deep.
This has to be lined up just right to make it work properly.
All right.
You got it?
4.762. Dead nuts.
Yeah, you're on it now.
On it.
Okay, good, good. I'm Dr. Andy Hemmings with the Osceola Research Institute, and we are at the edge of a pit that we are excavating, dating from modern stuff right at the top all the way down to potentially maybe 15,000 years ago, some of the earliest occupation, not only in Florida, but in the New World.
Wow.
We're kind of just getting to the good stuff. As we get through the earliest Holocene material and get into the end of the Ice Age, the end of the terminal Pleistocene material, we'll be looking at things in the 12 to 14, and it's, like I said, as much as 15,000-year-old range.
Buckets are lined up, shovels gently pushed across the pit's floor, scraping away thousands of years with every layer. Careful, exacting work. You never know what you might hit.
Yeah. We've been finding stone tools. Just somebody knocked a big flake off. It was really sharp on one edge, so they took a little piece of antler or another hammer stone, perhaps, and just sharpened it up a little bit more. A drill, the tip had broken off of that, and we're probably guessing, in the 5,000-6,000-year-old range. Part of today's excitement has been that we had a little lens of charcoal, and as we dug it out this morning, it started to have some structure to it. Tom said perhaps corn cob. A corn cob shouldn't be in 9,000-year-old dirt here, but it's conceivable. So that'll be the excitement this afternoon, is removing this little pedestal that's got quite a bit of charcoal in it.
The scraped material is dumped into the buckets and poured out over what looks like a screen door laying on its side on legs. So now we'll move over here to a screen. Everybody knows what this looks like. It's framed, and you're brushing that sand through. What are you looking for?
Flint flakes, the little pieces of stone that they were when they were making a projectile point. There's one.
You've got one there? Put it right in the cup. These are tiny.
Really tiny, because they're taking a deer antler and sharpening an arrowhead or a projectile point, and they make these little tiny flakes.
Look at there. Okay, you found one down there.
A larger one.
A larger one. It's a quarter of an inch long.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, that's a big one.
How do you know that's what they were doing with it?
They have what they call these primitive arts festivals where people are making arrowheads today. And this is the debitage that is what's on the floor after they get through making a
same
projectile
thing.
Point.
Yeah. Same thing.
Except this is probably 10,000 years old.
I just touched something 10,000 years old.
Yeah, right. It's cool.
What? You did it, not me.
It wasn't my hand.
That's Dr. Henning, who just wiped out a few hundred years of history with one football.
There's so many ways to mess up here.
It's funny, but the reason he slipped may not be. Artifacts are most beneficial to archaeologists. They reveal their stories best when they're found where they were left, and storms like the recent Hurricane Michael can disturb that.
If you stand in a place long enough, you can feel the sand compressing a little bit, and it's causing us no end of problems and agitations.
Do you think that's the rain? As you shake your fist at the elements just now?
Impotently.
But these things are thousands of years old, so they've been shifted.
Sure, if they're in place and not currently excavated, and that's really why we were so very concerned, is that we have an open excavation pit almost a meter deep with soils that have not seen the light of day for the better part of 9,000 years. We've made it vulnerable. And so we covered this with tarps, sandbagged the whole thing, and we got off awful light.
And so they continue the work that was started by a man who devoted his life to saving the history beneath Florida's soil and found this site when a sewer pipe was laid.
The original work was done by the then state archaeologist, Calvin Jones, just along the sidewalk outside the lodge in 1994, and that's when some of the most important, earliest finds were made.
Calvin Jones, isn't he the one who got a wheelbarrow of loam delivered to his home? He's the one who realized that there was some ancient tool in that, who said, wait a second. Yeah, the Jackson Mountains. He's the one who said, wait a second, this dirt is more than dirt. It's part of this ancient burial site.
Yeah, yeah.
they had a delivery of dirt, and within the dirt there were artifacts.
That is archaeologist Barbara Clark of the Florida Public Archaeology Network, and we've traveled to the place where Calvin Jones got his loam and realized it held treasures. It's now the Lake Jackson Mounds Archaeology State Park in Tallahassee, a beautiful carpet of lawn leading to grass-covered hills that rise like the backs of green elephants, one bigger than the others. Okay, we walked across that vast lawn, and there it is. I mean, how high in the air would you say this mound is?
This is the tallest of the seven mounds. It is 36 feet tall. These mounds were built basket by basket load of dirt.
And let's just back up. What exactly is the mound?
This site is actually part of what's called the Southeastern Ceremonial Complex, which is the southeastern region's version of the Mississippian culture, known by many as the mound builders. Over time, they would build these mounds, and their leader would live on top of the mound in a hut. When that person passed, they would then be interred or buried in the mound, and their home would be burned, and then they would cap it off with more soil, and then the next leader would live on top of it. So over time, it became taller and taller, and you can actually see those different layers of soil. If you were to kind of cut this mound in half, you would see evidence of that. You'd see the charcoal from the burned homes. You'd see the burials in the mounds.
Let us climb the mound. And that feels kind of, I don't know, you're walking on someone's funeral pyre. Is that...
It's a place that you have to respect. People lived and died here just as we live and die today. It's definitely a very respectful kind of foreboding place.
Yeah, I feel that. But we are going to climb the stairs to the top of it, as a leader would have done hundreds of years ago. So here we go. Are there native peoples who are direct descendants of the peoples who lived here?
The descendants of the people who lived here were the Apalachee Indians that were here during the time of the Spaniards' arrival. There are still living descendants today. Most of them live in Louisiana and come over for educational events and things like that.
So we're now climbing the wooden stairs up the mound, which is covered with wildflowers. It's actually quite pretty. I know there's concern about how these ancient sites might have been impacted by what was the third largest hurricane, you know, in the country's history. But I'm thinking, since the year 1000 AD, these mounds, and we're right on top now, these mounds have weathered a lot.
Yeah, I think the biggest danger to the mounds would be trees falling over, because they take their root ball with them. And with that, of course, they take part of the mound. And then you have an open place where rainwater can wash away parts of the mound.
Here we are. We're at the top of this mound. We have all this growth. So the leader of a community would get higher and higher and higher above the people. I'm looking now on the big lawn where they'd all be living.
Mm-hmm. This was strategically placed. Over here to our east, we have Lake Jackson. I always tell people, when you're looking for archaeological sites, you look for your basic needs: food, water, and shelter. There are other sites similar to this throughout the southeast, all the way up through the Mississippi Valley, up into Ohio. Even when they were excavating here at Lake Jackson, they were finding copper breastplates, ornate copper breastplates. We don't have copper in Florida. So it was evidence of trade with those other places.
So I understand in this mound, when it was excavated, there would be a family. There was a dog at one point.
They found women. They found one child, I believe, who was about 11 years old. And yes, there was a dog burial.
Why is it so important? This, again, 1,000 to 1,500, a community that lived here before DeSoto came through. What does it mean to you?
I just cannot imagine the level of complexity and organization required. You know, we always think of prehistoric people as primitive, but they were complex. They lived amongst nature, and they were able to take that and work with it to build these massive structures. And I think it's a testament to their abilities as a culture and as a society.
And by the way, if you're in Tallahassee in November, make sure to stop by Wakulla Springs, because Andy Hemmings and his team will be excavating a mastodon.